Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Richard Dolan. He's author of UFOs in the National Security State. There's a volume one, which is an unclassified history from 1941 to 1973. Volume two, which came out late last year, The Cover-Up Exposed, 1973 to 1991. A reminder, listeners, if you want to find out more about the Paracast, go to theparacast.com. That's theparacast with a T-H-E.com. We also have forums. You heard Paul referring to messages from our forum members that we're using as questions on the show. That's forum.theparacast.com, forum.theparacast.com. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Rich, you had some further comments to make from our last hour, the question that Nick Redfern had posed.
That's right. Nick was really wanting to know how is it that we're going to get to the point where we really have more than just hunches and lots of file cabinets of cases and no proof. My own contribution is simply to try to create an airtight case for the reality of an unexplained phenomenon that has gotten the interest of our national security apparatus. Not to prove that they are alien necessarily, although I think that's what I probably my number one hypothesis, that there's some type of non-human intelligence. I feel that that's the way to go. And I'm not even saying that my own books are 100% perfect in the execution of that idea, but that's what I think I'm trying to do. I want to create as airtight a case of the reality of the phenomenon from a historical point of view. And this is sort of my way of doing an end run around having to prove that they're this or that or the other thing. Rather, if I can prove that the United States government and other governments have engaged these objects continuously with seriousness, then that should be, ideally, a jumping-off point for further public inquiry and pressure on the government agencies themselves to find out what's going on.
Let me ask you a fast question here, Rich. Have you found in doing the two books and now researching a third and doing still another book that certain pieces of information you took to be accurate are now not accurate or led you in the wrong direction?
Oh, yeah, yeah, especially with the earlier book, which I wrote during the late 1990s. And, there were a lot of things that I just didn't know about the UFO phenomenon. And I was sort of learning as I go, so to speak. Looking back on that book, I'm still generally happy with it, but I do intend at some point in the future, I don't know when, to do one final revision of that first volume. Not so much that I think was incorrect in that book, so much as just missing. There's a lot of history in that first volume that should have been there that isn't in there. Just a couple of things that come to mind off the top of my head. The whole connection of Kelly Johnson with UFOs. Kelly Johnson, of course, running Lockheed's Skunk Works division. Not only was very interested in the UFO topic, but had seen them. And had, in fact, on one occasion, seen them in the company of other Lockheed personnel. That, strikes me as a very significant thing. Actually, I've got a list I put together of a number of things in Volume 1 that I want to add to one more final edition. The biggest oversight, I would say, of the first volume was how I really did not appreciate at the time the whole German or Nazi flying saucer phenomenon. Keep in mind, I wrote that book really in the late 90s. It was before Nick Cook had come out with his very interesting book, The Hunt for Zero Point, in which he really delved into that in such an interesting way. After I read that, I thought, damn it, I really would like to have redone the whole Nazi UFO section. I tried to amend that to some extent in the second volume, where I talk in the early 1970s about how the Nazi thesis started making the rounds, and it really did start making the rounds in the early 70s, so it gave me an opportunity to kind of correct that oversight. The bottom line is I think that it's a lot more complicated when we look at the late 1940s when we consider that the Germans were, in fact, working on apparently some very unconventional airframes, including disc-shaped, and we have to wonder, what is the relationship of that to the UFO flying saucer phenomenon of the late 40s. The only thing that I would say is that I'm not convinced that the sum total of the UFO phenomenon of the late 40s can be traced to the Nazi flying saucer phenomenon. It just strikes me as vastly too much. And, you know, the other question being, who's running the so-called Nazi flying saucers? If it's a U.S. black project, why are American planes chasing them nonstop for over 60 years? Are we talking about a kind of separate Nazi civilization that went to Antarctica or South America? Well, if that's the case, I haven't really come across historical evidence that makes that very compelling to me.
Now, a couple of the other things that you mentioned in your book that I wanted to go over. Now, we were talking about overt evidence of government participation in the UFO field. And we have a couple of very unfortunate incidents over the years. Two apparent suicides of UFO researchers we all know about. First, going back to the 50s, M.K. Jessup. And his participation gets to be rather notorious because of that book, The Case of the UFO, and then we have this character, Carl Allen, or Carlos Allende, who comes up with the annotated version.
He suffocated himself with a carbon monoxide poison. I think he ran a tube from the exhaust of his car.
Okay. Okay, so anything weird about that, or you just think it's just a person who was despondent or had some reason to think they should off themselves?
I think he could have been killed. Absolutely, he could have been suicided. I don't know if I'm going to ever know the truth to that one, but it's the easiest thing in the world to suicide a person, make it look like they killed themselves. I mean, even back in the 40s and 50s, that was old news for intelligence operatives. So could Jessup have been killed? Sure.
Maybe, but do you see any reason other than saying, gee, we could certainly make a death appear to be natural? We see that all the time on television. CSI covers it every couple of months, somebody made to look like they died naturally, but they were really murdered. Would there be any reason to kill Morris K. Jessup?
Well, if he stumbled across something that was really important, if the Varro edition of The Case for the UFO actually is as significant as, I mean, you know, is Allende actually as... Who knows what Carlos Allende was, what Carl Allen was. Talk is cheap. Did he create those documents or not? I don't know. He says he did. Okay, well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. The Jessup story is a little odd, and he may have just killed himself. I don't recall speculating that he was murdered in the first volume of my book. I think I kind of let that go. But I don't know. I do think a number of people connected with the UFO mystery were murdered, not suicide. In fact, one is James Forrestal, the former Secretary of Defense. I'm pretty much convinced that Forrestal was thrown out the window of the Bethesda Naval Hospital back in 1949. I don't think he just jumped. His death is one that I've studied in some detail. And when I conclude that he was murdered, then I have to ask myself, well, why would he have been murdered? There are a couple of possibilities. One could have been having to do with communism, kind of the communist menace as it was perceived in 1949. But one I think is legitimate concern relating to the UFO phenomenon. Forrestal was a guy who knew things. He might have been seen as a security risk in early 1949, and maybe they just decided to get rid of him. His death was very suspicious. Very suspicious.
What so others do you think maybe intrigue you?
Ruppelt.
Ruppelt?
Who died of a heart attack.
Right. He was, maybe 40 years old, 39, something like that?
37.
Okay, even
37
worse.
Years old. And the thing about Ruppelt is that he, you know, had written in 1956 a classic study of the UFO topic. It was very mature, very nicely put together, the study of unidentified flying objects. And 3 years later, in 1959, writes an additional three chapters to that book while he was working over at, I think, Northrop. And the thing about it, if you've read those three subsequent chapters...
I want to talk about that in our next section because I remember what Major Kehoe said in one of his books about that, so we'll get into it. We have Richard Dolan, author of two volumes of the UFOs in the National Security State series. A third one is going to come eventually. Our co-host, Paul Kimball, and Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Yeah.
Hey, neighbors, have you been thinking about starting a website? Well, I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a world-famous leader in web hosting, and they make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and great selection of templates. Use the coupon code PowerCast. Once again, use the coupon code PowerCast and sign up at this special address, theparacast.com/gator. That's G-A-T-O-R, theparacast.com/gator. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We have Richard Dolan, our co-hosts Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. We were talking about whether the death of the late Captain Edward Ruppelt, author of the Report on UFOs, a Doubleday book from 1956, who died apparently of a heart attack at the age of 37, whether he was off by the authorities. Now, I do know that in one of Major Kehoe's books, maybe Flying Saucers Top Secret, he was mentioning that Ruppel told him that he was under tremendous pressure from the government to change his stance on UFOs. Right. He wrote three extra chapters for that book. Tell us about them, Rich.
Well, yeah, the tone of those three chapters, compared to the previous book he had written just 3 years before, were so utterly juvenile. It's really striking that he does nothing but engage in insult and innuendo, exactly the opposite type of tone than what he had taken previously, which was very detached, very low-key, very careful kind of writing. Whereas in these final three chapters, he's just he sounds like a different person. Now, maybe he wrote it, maybe he didn't. I don't really know. It doesn't seem to be the same writing style. It probably is him, but something was different with Ed Ruppelt when he wrote that book. That, I think, is evident just from studying the state of his mind in the writing. And then he ups and dies, which I do think is a bit odd. He was not yet 40 years old. According to Kehoe, Ruppelt had one prior heart attack, and you know, I think that's interesting. So you might say, well, you know, he had a pre-existing heart condition. Or you could say that someone killed him and made it look like a heart attack. That technology existed easily by 1955, 1960. There were aerosol sprays that were in existence by then. Inhale it, you're dead. If you're not autopsied within a couple of hours, the best they could do is say it was a heart attack. That I know existed. So I don't really know what happened with Ruppelt. His death was suspicious.
But then he recanted in the book, and that's the key there. He recants in the book, so why even bother offing this guy?
Don't know.
Mm.
This is one of the points that Rich and I politely agree to disagree on. I know he speculated on Jim McDonald's death, too.
Yeah.
And I don't see any grounds for that kind of speculation there. But that's cool. You know, if you agree on 70% of stuff and disagree on 30%, well, then I'd rather focus these days, at least, on the 70% that we do agree on than the 30% or whatever that maybe we don't. So
I happen to agree with that, Paul.
Okay, let's talk about Dr. McDonald only for a moment, because we had Ann Druffel on the PowerCast several years ago, and she feels completely that he had reason to be despondent, whatever, with his life, and he did commit suicide. You feel it was deliberate, it was murder. What is your background? What is your reasoning for this?
Well, I don't know if I hold that position as strongly as I did. To be perfectly candid with you, you know, the McDonald section might be something that I would want to handle a little differently if I were redoing this today. I do think the technologies existed even by 1970 to get inside somebody's head. That was there. Whether that was the case with McDonald or not, I don't know. Is it possible to influence someone psychologically via technology? The answer is yes, it is possible. It was possible in 1970, it's possible today. We can pretend that there's no such thing as mind control or psychological manipulation technologically, but we do that at our own risk. The technology's there. So we're in this unpleasant position of having to ask ourselves, well, did it happen or not, and never having enough proof to make a case one way or the other. So in McDonald's case, you know, I have a lot of respect for Anne's research in that book. She spent a lot more time studying Jim McDonald than I ever did. Her opinion is that it was a suicide. I'm certainly willing to take that into account. So there.
Now, that takes us back years and years ago. In the 40s, 50s, and 60s, we have this. Any subsequent cases where you think somebody might have been murdered by the government, maybe because they knew too much or whatever?
Yeah. I don't think it's a UFO case, but I would say the journalist Gary Webb, I think, was probably suicided. Anyone who shoots themselves twice in the head is probably going to be suspicious of that, and that was what the coroner stated about Gary Webb. Gary Webb, for those who may not recall offhand, was the guy who in 1996 wrote a three-part series called Dark Alliance, and it was all about the CIA's relationship to the Nicaraguan Contras, the Medellin cartel, and the importation of cocaine into the United States at a time in the 80s when it was becoming crack cocaine was being developed for the first time. And so the expose that Gary Webb had was that, you know, during the period when Ronald Reagan had his war on drugs, just say no, and so forth, that the CIA was wittingly facilitating the importation of massive amounts of cocaine through the Medellin cartel to the Contras to the Bloods and Crips in L.A. at a time when it was hitting the streets as in the form of crack, which, of course, is the most pernicious drug to hit the United States up to that time. Webb lost his job within a year. He was savaged, I mean utterly savaged, by the L.A. Times, by the New York Times, and I think the Washington Post. They just, in his own newspaper, let him twist in the wind, so to speak. The CIA was, you know, essentially working through their proxies, just tore him to pieces. CIA just stood back and said, well, of course we didn't. We weren't involved in any of that. But I think that Webb made a very excellent case. What happened to Gary Webb? His career tanked, and 10 years later, dies of not one, but two self-inflicted gunshot wounds to the head. Okay? And yet it's ruled a suicide. Yes, I think Gary Webb was murdered. And certainly had he died immediately after all that blow-up, it would have been deeply suspicious. You wait 10 years, you off him like that, you send a signal to other researchers, like, see, this is what happens to you when you screw with the wrong people. So I think Gary Webb was certainly bumped off in that manner. Now, whether it was a CIA hit or a drug hit, I don't know. But I think he was suicided. And I think here's a guy who did out the CIA for its role in drug trafficking.
Let's return back to the UFO field because we have 2.5 segments left. And we haven't focused on an end game. So we all know that a lot of researchers have worked many, many years, decades. We had John Keel. We had Richard Hall, people who lived out their lives and nothing happened. Major Donald Kehoe felt very much so in the early years there would be disclosure. And he pushed very hard for that with the organization NICAP. So right now, we're in 2010, as most of our listeners are hearing this, although since it is available also as a podcast, people will hear this for many years, I imagine. Okay, so in 2010, can we hope there's going to be any kind of disclosure? This is one of the topics I want to deal with Rich Dolan in the next segment because we don't have enough time right now to have you answer it. So I'd rather leave what they call the cliffhanger except to say you have two books out there now, UFOs and the National Security State, Volume 1 covering 1941 to 1973. Volume 2, the more recent one, came out late last year covering 1973 to 1991, and the rest will be coming out hopefully in the not-too-distant future. Our co-hosts this week, Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern, check the PowerCast at theparacast.com. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Global meltdowns, massive unemployment, endless wars, a new currency crisis, financially and morally bankrupt. A great and terrible storm is approaching. So what's the best way to get ready? To get prepared for hard times ahead. Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent patriots who want practical advice on how to survive and prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Off the Grid News is fiercely independent, all about self-reliance, and packed with helpful information on survival gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, herbal medicines, privacy and security, as well as God, gold, and guns, with absolutely no apologies. And the best part? This $100 a year service is now free of charge for our listeners. That's right, free for our listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.com. That's offthegridnews.com. You can sign up for free at offthegridnews.com. Offthegridnews.com.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water in your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners, use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network. Yes, yes, yes.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Richard Dolan joining us this week. Our co-hosts are Paul Kimball and Nick Redfern. You're in the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. And the question on the table... disclosure. Okay, it didn't happen in the lifetimes of lots of people who were very dedicated and worked real hard. Can it happen now?
Yes, I think it can happen. And I furthermore think that it will happen in the future and probably in our lifetimes. I really should take this opportunity to mention that this is the theme of the book that I'm writing right now, and it will be out in the fall, so I might as well just mention it. It's a book that I'm co-authoring with award-winning journalist Bryce Zabel, who happens to be the creator and producer of the television show Dark Skies, which aired in the late 1990s. Bryce and I have been working on this book. It's just about finished. We call it AD, After Disclosure. And we have a subtitle for it, which is The People's Guide to Life After Contact. I guess the best way that I would describe it would be as a kind of what if. I'm not going to put myself in a corner here and say that it's going to happen, although I think it probably will. But really, in a way, it's an interesting exercise. What if a disclosure did happen? How might that change the world? And this is really the kind of book that we've put together. And I must say, it's been just a fascinating journey. I think we've got as many ideas per page as any UFO book has that's out there. And again, I think we're going to have it done probably any week and have it ready for print by the in the fall. So, you know, part of my developing thesis for the last couple of years has been that it is going to happen despite the most determined efforts of those to stop it. I've sort of explored some of those reasons with you earlier in this interview, and that I just see, you know, in the grand scheme of things, our society is moving way too fast technologically and therefore socially, that something is going to happen. It could very well be with the development of better quality portable video cameras, which very soon everyone's going to be carrying, that something undeniable will happen. It could be something that happens during a broadcast itself, for all we know. I do think that it's probably something that will happen very suddenly, very unexpectedly. It might be that, you know, we have a deathbed confession that's publicly made of a famous figure. I think that's a little less likely, but who knows? I guess I'm focused less on the actual trigger and more on the generalities and thinking that 2010 is not like 1950, and it's not going to be like 2030, for that matter, or 2050. It's very hard to predict the future, but I do think, I mean, you know, something like the Internet was almost not predictable in 1985, and so I think that we're still in the point of reinventing our civilization. So I think the truth will out, and really our book is an attempt to understand how might that change our world.
Rich, based on what you just said, would I be taking it correct then that you don't really see the traditional approach of disclosure of the government coming clean because the government decides to come clean or whoever's sitting on the speaker comes clean, you don't think that's going to be the way we're going to get the answers?
Well, I don't think that they're going to do that voluntarily. I mean, look, if you and I were president, I've thought about this. I put myself in the position of these people, and I have a lot of sympathy for any president that has to make a statement because, you know, one thing you don't want to do is cause people to go crazy and pull a hair out of their heads and jump out of buildings and start shooting each other too much. And so you have to be careful with how you present this information. And that's going to be very, very difficult. My reasoning is the only thing that would cause them to do it is if they're forced into it somehow by an event that is just no longer credible to deny. And I do think that something like that can happen. However it comes about, they're going to have to be withholding a lot of truth for as long as possible. The problem with that strategy, as I see it, is it's going to be very difficult ultimately to do that for a long period of time. It's like being a little bit pregnant. You really can't be. Once an acknowledgement is made, you know, we've been lying for 60, 70 plus years about this, then it's going to be very hard to deny that there's a very large, deep black infrastructure that's been involved in dealing with it, and people are going to be asking about it. Increasingly, it will be more and more difficult. There'll be calls that will go out to have a presidential executive order that will liberate people who have had black world secrets relating to the UFO phenomenon, and who knows what will come out. You know, keep in mind that during the presidency of Jimmy Carter, a lot of the leaks that Leonard Stringfield got in the late 70s explicitly came to him from military people who said, well, it looks like the president's going to make a big statement on UFOs anyway, so I just thought I would tell you. And this actually happened. In other words, it was believed by people at that time that Jimmy Carter was going to be, in fact, the disclosure president. Of course, that didn't happen. But there was enough of a widespread belief because of certain statements he had made to cause a number of people to come out and leak information to Stringfield. So in the event that there's an actual official statement of some sort, I think it's a no-brainer that a lot of black world people are going to come up and they're just going to start talking. And then it's going to be very difficult to contain that situation. Next thing you know, it's going to be a truth out of control.
What kind of worries me if looking at the way the government works, if we have a government where we hardly control our intelligence apparatus at all, where Donald Rumsfeld said, 2000 before 9/11, that there's a couple of $1 trillion lying around somewhere that we can't account for. If all this stuff is going on behind the scenes, you know, who really knows? Is there one singular authority who could say, I can control disclosure, or is it so spread out in different areas, in so many companies, private industry, et cetera, that nobody can really do it?
I think that there are people, I call them the masters of the universe. Look, you know, one of the theses of my last book is that America does have a kingmaker. His name is David Rockefeller. That doesn't mean that Rockefeller controlled every single facet of U.S. politics, but it does mean that he had preponderant influence over who was selected to the presidency and what those major policies would be. I think that that's a case that is made reasonably well enough in my book. There is a Bilderberg group. They do meet every year in total secrecy. They do gather themselves together, and they decide on how the world needs to look. And they have more power and influence than you and I have. And so they're able to make various decisions in security, and they're able to have a lot of ability to implement those decisions in structures around the world. You can call that a conspiracy or not. It's kind of an open conspiracy because they don't make any bones about what they do. So are these the people, you know, who are ultimately in charge of the UFO secret? I would say the answer is maybe. I would say the answer is yes, it absolutely could be. When you look at U.S. foreign policy is basically working in service of financial groups that have basically tried to, for example, steal Iraq oil or to try to take over natural gas transportation in Afghanistan, or now, you know, try to take the immense value of copper that's in Afghanistan. And that's what it's all about. It's all about owning the resources of the world, and that's what the U.S. military works for. Once we get our head into that frame of mind, it's not difficult, really, to see the UFO cover-up as part of that whole system. There's money and power in the UFO secret, money in the form of acquired technology, at least this is my belief, this is what it looks like to me, in terms of technology that have been obtained. Well, if you've got something that's vastly ahead of your, you know, above-world open world technology, then you've got the future in your hands, and you've got a great number of ground floor investment opportunities. So you have no incentive for giving that secret up. So I think that's part of the problem. And I think that if there's a guy who's in charge, yeah, I would look to the powers behind the scenes. I would look to people like those who meet at the annual, whether it's the Bilderberg or the Trilat meetings, or, you know, what have you.
Well, look at Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney knows it all. That's why they have him on the heart machine now, to make sure he lives long enough to disclose.
I'm sure Cheney knows a lot. Yes, I have no little doubt that he knows a great deal about this.
I have little doubt, but Richard Dolan is here with us this week on the PowerCast. Our co-host Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast for one more segment.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
Richard Dolan joining us for one more session. Our co-host Paul Kimball and Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. Paul is the foreigner amongst us, not from outer space, but from the great white north. So what is your feeling about this? Would you like to follow up with Rich?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to point out that Nick is still technically a foreigner, having come from the United Kingdom. So
he lives here. We'll just do that.
Well, yeah, they used to call people like him, you know, Hessians, although they were from Germany, but they were fighting. So it's
call me something too, but I don't want to say this on the air.
Nick is a fifth column 200 years later, so.
You have a streaky, a clean green card, though.
Oh, well, there you go. I wouldn't mind getting one of those so I could work in L.A. Look, Rich is far more optimistic, and I find most people in the UFO, interested in the UFO subject, are far more optimistic than I am. Now, with Rich...
Regarding what, exactly?
Disclosure. With Rich, we can talk on the same level because, frankly, nobody else in this show would ever say it, but I don't have a whole lot of respect for most people who take a public interest in the UFO phenomenon. I do with Rich because he understands history, and it's very weird. People might be very surprised to hear me say this. I have a darker view of the world than you do, Rich, because I see all the same things you do, leaving aside the UFO thing, and I see it ending differently. I see it not ending in a good way. I do see it as evolving into a police state, into a national surveillance state, and I see that combined. And actually, you know what? This ties into the Robertson panel. Strangely enough, or at least you could tie it into the Robertson panel, where they said they would use documentary filmmakers and entertainment groups to distract people from the UFO phenomenon to manage that information. Now, you could argue over what they meant by that, but there's no question that they were talking about using the mass media as a way of controlling information.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think the most important thing – well, maybe not the most important thing, but one of the most important things that people could read if they want to look at the UFO phenomenon and the national security state and a lot of the things that we've been talking about today and the issue of disclosure is The Society of the Spectacle, which was written by a French Marxist theorist, Guy Debord, who was part of a group called the Situationists in the 1960s. Very radical. But his whole idea, you know, to sum it all up, bread and circuses, that we have become part in modern society and technology, increasing technology certainly plays into this. Video games are a perfect example, where kids will sit in front of their computer screens for hours upon hours now playing video games instead of interacting with people. But they actually talked, and I know that maybe this goes a little highbrow or a little outside the UFO norm, but people in the, who are interested in these subjects should be looking into this kind of stuff, and they should be thinking. And Debord would write, did write, that the spectacle taken in the limited sense of mass media, which is its superficial manifestation, had inverted the image of society so that the relations between commodities had supplanted relations between peoples, i.e. a Big Mac at McDonald's is more important than my friendship with Nick, and passive identification with the spectacle, watching American Idol on television, I say this as a former musician, supplants genuine activity, i.e. picking up a guitar and going out and playing yourself. Yeah. So going back to this thing about searching for the truth, whether I agree with Rich or not, whether I agree with Nick or not about any given thing, I respect them as people who are genuinely seeking the truth. But they are few and far between, and guys like you are a diminishing group in our society. And here's another quote. I'll just throw out one last quote from Guy Debord. He wrote, and then I'll change it a bit. He said, young people everywhere have been allowed to choose between love and a garbage disposal unit. And everywhere they have chosen the garbage disposal unit. And I would say you could change that a bit and say young people everywhere have been allowed to choose between truth and a garbage disposal unit, and everywhere they have chosen the garbage disposal unit.
I agree with so much of what you're saying, and unfortunately I do find that I often have a dark view of our future too. But I do believe that really what we're in right now is a grand battle, and the battle is between forces of free thought and the forces of a global police state. I don't think that that battle has been decided yet. I do think that there are forces on both sides, and that it isn't necessarily a foregone conclusion that we're all going to be mental slaves of the machine. I also believe that there is, in fact, even among young people, I've got a son who's 14, a daughter who's 11, and I know all of their friends, and in about 10 minutes I'm going to be coaching a youth baseball game, in fact. I find that there is a hunger for truth. Once people understand that there are issues to care about, I see it every day in my life. I deal with people in a private capacity, nothing to do with UFOs. They find out that I'm interested in this topic, and inevitably, I find they're curious, and inevitably they want to know a little bit about it. And then after 10 minutes of me doing my thing with them, often one-on-one, I find the same reaction every time. And it's, wow, I had no idea. That's fascinating. I'd like to learn more. So I think that at a certain level, there is a hunger for truth that many people have. The problem is they are not aware that they have it until someone, whether it's myself or some other person who cares enough, tries to turn that light on, and then people can realize. So I think that there is potential. What I want to do in whatever way that I can is to show that there's another way. It's a way of independent thought. It's a way of actively searching for truth. And sure, it's a sacrifice, but it's absolutely worthwhile. And I'm not prepared, no, to say that it's over. I think that there are forces on the other side of the fence. That's our side of the fence, and that's the side I'm staying on.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not prepared to say it's over either. In fact, I don't think it is. I just think we're losing. So, which might be, I mean, you know, it's the eighth inning, and we're down.
We're getting our asses kicked. Yeah.
And we're the Kansas City Royals, and they're the New York Yankees. But that doesn't mean we can't win. It just means, I think, you know, things like the society, the spectacle, a whole bunch of stuff that kids are not being taught in school anymore, that is not being discussed. And, you know, we live in a dumbed-down, sort of white-bread, no-name-brand society.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, we can get more into that on another episode, Paul, because we're just about out of time. And I've got to give Rich a chance to sell his books. In the next couple of minutes, Rich Dolan, tell us about your books, what you have coming out, where we can get copies.
Sure. Well, the first place you can go is my website, which is keyholepublishing.com, just like looking through a keyhole, Keyhole Publishing. I've written two volumes of history, UFOs and the National Security State. They're both available on Amazon. They're both available on my website. I'm actually at the point of getting volume two into bookstores. I'm working on that. The book that I'm working on that I'm very excited about right now is called AD After Disclosure. I've co-authored this with the creator of the television show Dark Skies. That's Bryce Zabel. I think of it as a what-if book. What if UFO secrecy ended? How would that change our world? The answer, as Bryce and I are finding, is that it would change our world a lot. I guess we'll have to have that for another topic, but I will say that this is a book where we've really kept our analysis very grounded as much as possible, but still not being afraid to speculate on a whole variety of possibilities. It's a book that has shocked me in how many different neat ideas we've developed out of it. And that book, AD After Disclosure, is going to be out in the fall. We're planning for September 23rd, 24th. We'll see. We're shooting for it. The website for the book is called afterdisclosure.com. So you can access it there as well as on my website, keyholepublishing.com.
Okay. Paul Kimball, where do we find more of the things that you're doing?
As always, the easiest place to go is my blog, redstarfilms.blogspot.com. And if you go in particular to May 7th, 2010, you'll see my review of Rich's book, UFOs in the National Security State, Volume 2, where I write, "The important thing about Dolan's work lies not in his conclusions, which may or may not be correct, but in his encouragement to us to ask questions about the official story, not just concerning the UFO phenomenon, but about the way our very society is ordered and how our governments treat the truth." So thanks for writing that, Rich, and I did enjoy the book, even if I didn't agree with everything.
Hey, by the way, thanks for that review. I forgot to tell you, although you really hit the German history kind of hard, don't you think?
I'll tell you what, we'll get into German history on another episode. Nick Redfern, I need to ask you, where do we find more of the stuff you do?
My website, which is nickredfern.com, and I have a lot of blogs which are linked to the site where people can find out latest news, things that are going on, breaking stories, etc.
Nick Redfern, Paul Kimball, and our special guest, Richard M. Dolan, thank you all for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thanks, Gene.
Thank you.
See you
later. The Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.